What is up, everybody? Welcome to the second episode of the NFL season in the DFS and Donut Shop. My name is Mitch, but you can call me Donuts. I provide content for Number Fire, Fantasy Draft, and the DFS Army. You can find me on Twitter at DFS and Donuts. I am so excited. The NFL season is upon us, which means it's draft time. Now, my first episode I set off for the wonderful NFL season was about draft auction strategy, and you can go back and find that. And that's a superb listen, especially if you're new to auction drafts and you're looking for a strategy. This episode is going to be about draft targets that can make you a league winner, specifically fantasy football targets that will win you a title. The industry has absolutely pummeled you to death with rankings and tiers, so I wanted to breathe some fresh air and try something out on my own. Hopefully you will enjoy listening to this as much as I enjoyed putting it together. For league winners, I'm going to briefly go over each position and highlight a player or two that I think carries significant value. They are the type of player that I believe will not only do well or exceed their draft spot, but could potentially win you your season-long league or your best ball league. Now, the first position I want to discuss is quarterback. Drew Brees. In 2017, Brees finished with a 72% completion percentage and an 8.1 yard per attempt rate. That was his highest in six seasons. The only issue was that he didn't throw the ball much, and he finished with just 23 touchdowns. Some would say that's due to his age and falling off a cliff, but I'd point to his efficiency and production within what he was asked to do. He was asked to carry the offense and throw the ball. He delivered, but most of the time, he was not. They leaned on Mark Ingram. They leaned on Alvin Kamara. I don't think he's anywhere near the edge of the cliff. He's nowhere near the edge of tomorrow. From 2013 to 2016, Brees attempted 627 to 673 passing attempts per year. In 2017, he threw just 536, almost 100 less passes in the season. That was largely due to the efficiency that the aforementioned Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara tag team pumped out. Well, to start the 2018 season, Mark Ingram is going to be out for the first four games, and I seriously have my doubts that Kamara can carry the workload. And if he does, what does that do to his small frame for the long-term outlook of the rest of the season? That's something nobody's talking about. He's small. Is he going to be able to hold up? If he's pounding the ball 20, 25 times between the running game and the catching game or the receiving game for 4 weeks, he might do pretty well, and the offense might chug along without Mark Ingram like they're not missing him at all. But long-term, what if Kamara starts to slow down towards the end of the year, and maybe Mark Ingram's not the same back as he was last year or the previous 2 years when he was trying to earn some money, and Brees is asked to step up? I can easily paint a picture in my mind that says his 23 touchdown season and 100 less passing attempts was an anomaly and possibly even the outlier. If Brees returns to that 35 touchdown per year average that he had from 2013 to 2016, and he happens to keep that efficiency he had last year with 72% completion and 8.1 yards per attempt, well, let's say he goes back to that 35 touchdowns and throws over 600 attempts. We are easily looking at the number one quarterback in all formats, and you're able to get him as the sixth or seventh quarterback off the board. That, my friends, is a potential league winner. Next up is running back. Now, I'm not buying that Frank Gore has the fountain of youth in his backyard and he just goes out there and has a little sip every single day. He's going to fall off a cliff sooner or later, guys. He's so old. In running back years, it's like he's aging in dog years, pretty much. This guy is mid-30s, I believe. He's 34 last year. He might be 35 this year. Listen, he's not going to lower the ceiling of Kenyon Drake. Drake went out there and showcased his elite talent over the last two seasons in a very limited sample size and opportunity. However, his 5.0 yards per carry, and his athletic ability were on full display over the last 10 games in 2017. During that time frame, Drake averaged 16 touches per game for 88 yards. and just about a half a touchdown per game. That's nothing astonishing. It isn't. It really isn't. But it's incredibly efficient for only 13 carries and 3 catches. Now, here's where it gets exciting. Let's take a look at how he finished the season once the Dolphins realized they had a special back and they fed him the ball. Over the final 5 games of the year, he averaged 21.6 touches per game for 118 yards per game and 0.4 touchdowns per game. So let's just round that up, 22 touches, 119 yards, and a half a touchdown per game. If we extrapolate that over 16 games, he would have finished with 290 rushing attempts, 54 receptions, and totaled 1,900 yards. Now, the touchdown rate of 0.4 per game comes out to just about 7 touchdowns. But listen, it's likely a pipe dream that he can get to 340 total touches for 1,900 yards and 7 touchdowns. It really is. It's likely a pipe dream. But however, if that's his ceiling, that's a potential league winner. Gore, as much as we all joke, has no place in this league anymore and won't run forever. If Drake seizes the opportunity and gets close to his potential ceiling, you have an incredible opportunity to win your league with a running back that's going off the board just about 20 to 22 so far. Next up, let's discuss some wide receivers that can win you a title. Demaryius Thomas. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpets. This dude is going to return to the top 10 this year, and he's going to be probably my most heavily targeted wide receiver in all of my drafts, in all of my auctions, and in every single best ball league that I enter. In 2016, Demaryius Thomas had the 11th best target share. In 2017, he had the 12th best target share. Those numbers were 25.9% and 25.4%. He was also top 12 in total targets in both seasons. So we have a guy who was an elite top 5 receiver for the better part of 4 to 5 seasons, who apparently, quote-unquote, had down years, but his numbers with those terrible quarterbacks at the helm showed that he was still targeted heavily. He had a massive amount of opportunity, but just had really poor balls being thrown his way. Now, prior to that terrible quarterback play over the last couple of seasons, DT had 92, 111, and 105 receptions. He also had over 1,300 yards in each of those 3 years, from 2013 to 2015. On top of that, his red zone prowess was evidenced by his 31 total touchdowns across those 48 games. With a solid quarterback under center, a healthy 30-year-old body that has not missed a single game in 5 years, I don't even think I'm going out on a limb when I say he's not even a dark horse to return to the top 10 in PPR and standard leagues, because I think it's a shoe-in. In my opinion, a 90 reception, 1,200 yard, and 10 touchdown season is well within reach, and at his current ADP of wide receiver 20, he absolutely offers league-winning potential at superb value. The next wide receiver is somebody, if you follow me on Twitter or in previous years of NFL, DFS, and season-long, you'll know that I'm a little biased, okay? Stephon Diggs. Recently, I reached out to a tweet that J.J. Zachariasen from NumberFire had put out about Antonio Brown. Well, I said Stephon Diggs is the NFC version of Antonio Brown light. Well, I got ridiculed by people I didn't know and my own followers. And hey, man, you're going to throw out your takes like that. You got to be able to take it. You got to be able to accept what people have to say. Everyone is allowed to share their opinion on the Twitter sphere and social media, and it's all good and dandy. Here is mine. Stephon Diggs is just 6 feet tall and 190 pounds. Nothing spectacular. But he isn't one of those guys, because of that size, that you'd think is super fast or overly elite in the athleticism department. Now, don't get me wrong, he's still in the 90th percentile wide receivers, and his spark score was pretty strong. But because of that size, you're not thinking of him as somebody who is going to jump over a cornerback or win all those contested balls, those 50-50 passes. Well, I'm about to blow your mind. In 2017, Diggs had the number one contested catch rate in the NFL. That's right. I just said it. The number one contested catch rate. And it wasn't on like five or six targets. No, he won 83.3% of contested balls over an 18-target sample size. That's significant. His quarterback QB rating, that's what a quarterback's rating is when the quarterback throws two Diggs. Okay, just overall team QB rating, doesn't matter who the quarterback was 119.2. That was the fourth best rating in the entire NFL. Now, with Kirk Cousins at the helm, Diggs has monumental upside in an offense that likely takes a massive step forward this season. He's quick, he's fast, he runs crisp routes, and he's looked the part as a number one wide receiver through camp and preseason as Cousins' preferred target. Now, maybe I just have a love affair with NFL players that maybe just don't look like they should be there. Those blue-collared workers, okay? Those bodies that might just not be the pinnacle of perfection when you think of an NFL athlete. Well, Doug Baldwin is just like Stephon Diggs. He's a very good athlete, but he's small in stature relative to what you think of an NFL player. But he's head and shoulders above the competition for targets on the Seahawks this year. And yeah, he's dealing with a knee injury and will miss the rest of preseason, but that lowers his ADP and the value for fish. For the sharks listening to this podcast like yourself, Baldwin has a great chance to set career highs in receptions, yards, and possibly get close to the 14-touchdown season he had in 2015. The Seahawks have a bevy of running backs who apparently could all be all-pro running backs, according to the media and coach speak. I don't buy it. The future is on Russell Wilson's shoulders and legs, and Baldwin should be the primary recipient of that fact. Now, he hasn't missed a single game in 5 years. He's Wilson's primary target and red zone option. A defense on the decline could lead to more passing and catch-up mode, and a healthy Baldwin can win you the league. Yes, please. Cameron Meredith. Well, this one is likely a shocker and likely a duh, depending on when you listen to this podcast. With no Mark Ingram for the first four games of the season, I firmly have already outlined why I think Drew Brees is going to regress to the mean and show up as an elite quarterback again, which means the passing game will as well. So that pass-happy campaign that leads Brees to top five finishes for the better part of the past decade, well, that's going to help out his receivers. When the industry zigs, you should zag. They're all over Kamara. Let's be all over the passing game. In theory, if Cam Meredith has a chance to soak up targets and opportunity as the number two wide receiver for a team that could potentially throw a ball 600 times this year, what do you think he's going to do with that opportunity? He had a 67% catch rate in 2017, and he put together a pretty decent return with 66 receptions and scored 5 touchdowns and finished with 888 yards. Okay, with a massive upgrade at quarterback, better coaching, and a precision quarterback, well, Cameron Meredith is built for success and tailor-made for this offense. He has incredibly low ADP and is being drafted about 25 spots back from where I think he could finish the wide receiver rankings. He's currently going as the 52nd wide receiver off the board. Now, will that change? Absolutely, especially after you're seeing highlights in practice, one-handed touchdown catches, and coaches talking him up. Drew Brees is telling him talking about how much he's buried his time and energy into learning the playbook. Well, that's just going to boost that ADP. He's going to be very popular as the early season goes. And the closer you get to week one, I think the more you're going to have to pay for someone like Cam Meredith. So if you're drafting this weekend, by all means, jump on it before the cat is out of the bag. All right, well, I've been trying to keep my podcast between 10 to 15 minutes long. I don't want to overwhelm the listener, and I don't want to bore you. So, without further ado, I wish you a wonderful weekend. Best of luck in your fantasy drafts. Remember, fortune favors the bold.